It's just really lovely to see you this morning. And Nick and Shelley, it's just wonderful to have you guys here. And thank you for the privilege that I have to stand here and bring God's word to you this morning. I really, really just have an incredible sense of God's spirit over me today. I really do. I've had an incredibly tough week. I found that it's been so difficult to even get to finish the sermon off. And I really feel that there was opposition to bring this morning. That's how I felt. So I'm going to tell you this morning that to honor Nick and Shelley and their return here, I've brought a little Indonesian flavor into my sermon. Yeah, a little bit of Southeast Asia. I'm going to bring it this morning. And so this sermon, it's the story of something called a rompong. So can I ask you to say rompong? No, that's terrible. Can I ask you to say it loudly, please? Rompong. Fantastic. So I hear you ask me what a rompong is, and I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you in a few minutes, but not just now. But this morning, my hope is that you are going to remember one simple line of Scripture. That's my plan for this morning. I want you to know one simple line of Scripture, and then that you're going to know it in your heart, and that in the weeks to come, you're going to meditate on it, and that it's going to dwell in your heart until it changes you and I from the inside out. That's my plan for this morning. One simple line. That's all we're going to do. And through that, I'm going to tell you the story of the rompong. And so I hope everyone's okay with that. I'm going to ask if you can put that scripture on the board, Hebrews 2, verse 1. That's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. That's it there. Because I'm a standard grade learner, I use the NIV Bible. So we're going to read from that this morning. And it says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift. That's it. That's the one line we're going to learn this morning. We've got to pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift. I went through basic legal training about 20 years ago. And in that legal training, we were taught to read legal provisions in a particular way. So we were taught to read word for word. And that's how I read Scripture. I actually read it, I read every single word. Because you will notice that as you get older, you can gloss over Scripture. You can gloss over anything. And what your brain does is it actually picks out the keywords and then it builds the image for you. But not Scripture. Scripture, we have to read it word for word. We've got to unpack it in detail. Because if there's one small change, we might not get it. We might actually miss it. So the first bit that we're going to look at is that we must pay the most careful attention. That's what we're going to look at. For the past 2.5 months, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and we've been looking at the heroes of the faith. And one of the things that struck me from our time in that series called Faith in Action was how intimate God was with his people, how he speaks to them. He speaks to them. And when he speaks to them, and when they pay attention, and when they listen, and when they obey, amazing things happen. Just incredible stuff takes place. And it just showed us that a life belonging to him is characterized by listening and paying attention. And we just looked at Moses and Abraham and Enoch and Abel and Joseph. And as we went through, the common thread was God speaking, them listening, paying attention, obeying God, and incredible things happened. Incredible things. And our Heavenly Father is always speaking. He speaks in the big things. He speaks in the little things. The question really is, are we paying attention? A couple of weeks ago, I work with my wife. We run a business together. And a couple of weeks ago, on a Monday morning, we had an argument. Like co-workers can do on a Monday morning. And I was cross after that argument. I was cross for two reasons. The first was that I was wrong. And the second reason I was cross was because Lee was cross with me. And so like a grumpy male, I spent the rest of the day quite irritated and quite angry and quite cross. And at about lunchtime, I got in the car and I went off to see clients. And I'm a bit of a strange fellow. I don't have a radio in my van. And what I do is because I drive quite a lot and I drive long distances, I listen to sermons when I'm alone in the car. And I listen to sermons from here. I will listen to them online. I will listen to sermons from friends of mine who preach in other churches and a couple of churches around South Africa. I will listen to their sermons. And so on this particular day, I was really angry. I was really cross. And I was listening to a sermon, and all I could hear in the sermon was, "Where are you, Bruce? Where are you, Bruce?" That's all I heard. "Where are you, Bruce?" This was the theme in the sermon. "Where are you, Bruce? Where are you, Bruce?" And the whole afternoon, as I got in and out the car and I stopped and started the sermon, all I heard was, "Where are you, Bruce? Where are you, Bruce? Where are you, Bruce?" So at about 5 o'clock that afternoon, I went to fetch one of my sons. And as I was walking towards my vehicle, there was a guy sitting on a scooter and he looked dicey. And I thought, if this guy asks me for money, I'm going to smack him. I'm not up for this. You know, and I could see he was going to ask me for something. And I thought, I'm not helping this guy one bit. I was really having a bad afternoon. And vrachtig, as I got to him, he stood up and he said, "Sir, I need your help." And I had to hear this whole long story. And in my heart, I didn't want to help this guy one bit. That was until he told me his name. So his name was Bruce. See, and that's the way God speaks. Sometimes we're not paying attention. We need to pay attention. And I don't know. I helped him. And I really, the minute I heard his name, I felt God say to me, "Do I have your attention?" And I went out of my way. I went out of my way to help this guy because I knew God had placed him in my path for a reason. And I don't know what happened on the other side of the help that I gave him. I've got no idea. Maybe he prayed for help. I don't know. But we have to listen and we have to pay attention and then we have to act on it. You see, if we miss what God is calling us to, if we miss what God is trying to speak to us about, we stand in grave danger of two things. The first is that we miss the very heart of God. We miss who he is. And the second thing is we miss what he's called us to do, which is a very, very dangerous place to be. Because whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, if you sit in this auditorium, you have been called. There's a plan and there is a purpose over your life that far exceeds your greatest dreams, your aspirations, and your greatest expectations. You have been called to partner with Christ. But if we don't pay attention to what we have heard, we are going to drift away. And so the second part of this scripture, actually the third part, which we're going to deal with first, is drifting. It says, do not drift away. Shane, can you put up the picture of the rompong for me, please? Now it's time to get to my rompong story. A rompong, there's a rompong. If you have a look behind me, the rompong is an Indonesian fishing trap. Looks like a timber hut, and it's a floating timber hut. And in September last year, that Indonesian teen, who you see behind me, he was stationed on a rompong. And he was rescued after drifting on the ocean for 49 days. According to a report by CNN, that chap, LD Novel Adilang, had been working as a lamp keeper on the rompong. And if you think that you have a very bad job and you have an unpleasant boss, just listen to what I'm about to tell you. This fishing trap had been anchored 125 nautical miles off the northern coast of Indonesia. You're all alone on a fishing trap, 125 nautical miles off the coast. And this rompong, it's what's called a fish aggregator device. I'm almost certain it works something like chukka fishing. So one would light the lamps, and the lamps attract the fish, and so you would catch the fish. The rompong it actually floats on buoys, and then it's attached by a rope to concrete blocks, which are the anchor for the rompong, which rest on the ocean floor. And Adilang, his job was to light the lamps powered by a generator on the trap each night to attract the fish. So Adelang would spend about 6 months on this rompong by himself. Once a week, a boat would come past, and it would provide them with fuel and food, and then it would obviously harvest the fish. But mid-July last year, things went terribly wrong for Adelang. High winds brought on massive waves. And what happened is, as the rompong went up and down on the waves, the rope rubbed against the side of the rompong. And as it rubbed, it sheared. And as it sheared, the rope to the anchor broke. And so for 1 week, as he drifted, he had radio communication with a friend of his who was on a rompong fairly close by. And then for the next 42 days, silence. Silence. He floated on the open ocean. You know, the storms of life come. In this church family, I think we've seen it all. You just need to look around the room. We've had crippling disease. We've had divorce. We've had marital unfaithfulness, bankruptcy, death of friends and family. And as these storms come through our lives, what happened is our own personal rompong gets beaten and battered until the rope starts to shear and the rope starts to fray and the rope gives way and we are free and we cast adrift. The anchor is broken. And so life's currents start to pull us in all sorts of directions. That's what happens. I feel like some of us are drifting. That's what I felt. Felt like some of us are drifting. Where are you drifting to? What are you drifting from? Or are you anchored? Do you feel anchored? You know, preparing this message, God put two questions on my heart. And I want to tell you, I have to go quite a long road to write this because God takes me through a serious process before I stand here. I prepare these things, I'm almost convinced for myself first. He asked me two questions. Am I the same person here on a Sunday morning, putting my hands up in the air, worshiping Jesus, trusting him for his provision? Am I the same person on a Sunday morning as I am on Monday with my staff, in my meetings, with my clients? I've got a very big corporate client at the moment, very demanding. And I felt God say, are you the same person here on the Sunday as you are on Monday with them? In the meetings. I called a staff meeting on Friday afternoon. I said to my staff, I'm preaching this message. Told them. I said, you are invited. You're invited. Because if I'm going to stand here and preach this message, I've got to make absolutely sure that I'm the same guy that deals with you Monday to Friday. And I'm not standing here like a hypocrite. I asked them to come. And then they can challenge me afterwards. Because I do think there are times when I'm drifting. When I drift. When the storms of life push me, when I'm under pressure, it pushes me into a place where I start making decisions, my language might change, things might change, and I'm not the same guy as I am here on a Sunday. I've got a friend who's come for the first time today. She knows me personally. She knows me on a friendship level. She's never been to this church. And so after today, she can tell me whether I'm the same guy on a Friday night as the person sitting here on a Sunday morning. Is my language the same? Is my heart the same? Is your calling the same on a Friday night with your mate as it is in this room on a Sunday morning? Or are we drifting? You know, I feel sometimes like we come to church on a Sunday and we go to life group on a Thursday and it's almost like ticking boxes. It's almost like ticking boxes, like going through the motions. Like we do these things and we think we're going to score points with God. Like it somehow satisfies God if we just do what we're expected to do week after week. And I'm addressing this to us as the church because this is what the scripture says. It was written to people just like us. It was written to religious Jewish men who had become converters to Christ. They'd been converted to Christianity. And so what had happened is, as the trials of life and the persecutions came in and the waves of life and the storms of life started to come in and to push, what happened is Jesus wasn't enough. So they wanted to go back to their old ways. They wanted to go back to their old religious ways and start ticking boxes and obeying the law and doing things simply because that's what was done. That's their safe place. They needed to add something to Jesus. Maybe in the storms of life, it feels like God suddenly goes silent on you. And you know, when that anchor goes, when that rope goes, I can tell you, it's very quiet. When you drift, it gets very, very quiet. For me, when I start to feel, you know, when I get shaken up in my faith, I take great encouragement from Peter. And about two or three times this morning, and it's amazing how God works, we've heard about Peter. I take great encouragement. When I feel like a useless Christian, I go and read up on Peter. And you know, most of us would like to be like Paul and do incredible things and write incredible stuff and preach amazing sermons, but actually we're more like Peter. In Matthew 4, verse 18, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, calls his first disciples. And as Jesus, it says this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus says, I'll make you fishers of men. And at once, they left their nets and followed him. There it is, the Great Commission. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, Peter and Andrew drop everything. And they enter into the presence of the living God, who is in human form. And they live with him. They learn from him. They are trained and equipped by him to partner in this great commission, which is calling the lost to Christ, planting churches, going. Peter and the boys are one of the first, probably outside of Mary, to hear the good news that God himself has come to earth to save the lost. That Jesus is the one, the only, the everything, the only way to the Father. And so for 3 years, they witness Jesus in action. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. Incredible miracles take place. Incredible miracles take place. And 3 years later, the greatest crisis in their whole life happens. The Christ is murdered. The Christ is murdered. The Christ is crucified. And Jesus' body lies in a tomb. Their world is shattered. The Christ, the Redeemer, has left them. Are the promises real? Is Jesus real? That's what they're thinking. Has God really called us to this? You know, even after appearing, after Jesus' resurrection, he appears to them twice. And by that stage, the doubt had set in. Peter was cast adrift. After living with Jesus, being trained by Jesus, witnessing everything Jesus did and said, he gets cast adrift. The rope to the anchor gets sheared. Peter's drifting. And you know where they were? When we find them again, do you know where they were? They were fishing. They went back to exactly what they had done before they had met Jesus. Everything he said, everything he did, everything he had taught them, and they went back. They went back to their day job. They became Monday morning Christians. Peter had forgotten what he heard. He'd forgotten what he heard. It says we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we don't drift. He'd forgotten that Jesus was the salvation of the whole world. You know, we have this incredible privilege of partnering with him in his plan to save the lost. That's our calling. And yet so often we can be like the Pharisees. We completely miss the heart of God. We can get into the routine, the mundane, the box ticking. In Luke 15, there is the most incredible picture. It says this at Luke 15:1. It says, Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And it's just a really, it's just a beautiful picture. So you've got Jesus, and I presume he's sitting in a, on the mountainside somewhere, and there are people gathered around him. And on the one side, you've got the Pharisees, the people that know the law, they obey the law, they are particular about it. And they think, in their arrogance, they know God. And on the other side of him, they've got sinners and tax collectors, really, 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 really bad people. Really bad people with pasts and history and sin. And it says the sinners and the tax collectors are gathered around him. And I just think it's amazing. Like, they're just completely attracted to him. He's like a magnet. They just want to be around him. Whatever he's saying, and he's engaging with them, and he's speaking with them, and he's not rebuking them for all the things that they've done wrong. He's speaking to them, and he's teaching them. And you've got the Pharisees on the other side, and they're hating him. They are holding him in contempt because he socializes with those people, because he's teaching those people. And you know what's so beautiful is that because he's God, he knows what everyone's thinking, the whole crowd. And so instead of having a go at everybody, he simply tells them a few parables. And I just think it's just so beautiful. And so what he does is he tells them the parables of the lost, we sang the song that he leaves the 99 in the open country and he searches for the one. Jesus says, I'm going to tell you who God is. I'm going to tell you what the heart of God is like. Because you're looking at me with criticism. Because I'm hanging around with the sinners and the tax collectors. I'm going to tell you about the heart of God. The heart of God. God's heart. He will leave the 99 for the one. He will turn the whole house upside down in search of the one lost coin. That's what he'll do. Which means he will turn this whole place, this whole church, upside down if there's one sinner here today. He will turn everything on its head for one person. And then he tells the parable of the lost son, who when he turns, when he repents of his ways and he turns, God runs for him. The Father runs for him and throws his arms around him. On a Sunday in church, on a Monday morning, on a Friday night, we have the same calling. We have the same commission in Jesus. We have heard the message of salvation, and we serve a God who will leave the 99, who will turn the house upside down, who will run for the sinner who repents. That is what we have heard, that our Father in heaven, in the most unselfish act that the world has ever seen, sent his one and only Son to die for you and I. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Addie Lang was a lamp keeper. His job was to light the lamps to attract the fish. That's our job. That's our job. We are called to be the light of the world. That's what we're called. It says in Matthew 5, verse 14, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, he had the Pharisees on the one side and the sinners and the tax collectors on the other side. I want to tell you that both were wrong. Both were in the wrong. Jesus doesn't want us to live a licentious life. He doesn't want us to live a life of sin. It's not his heart for us. And make no mistake, Jesus loves obedience. He loves obedience. But he doesn't love it for obedience' sake. He wants us to be obedient because when we're obedient, we shine his light to the world and we reveal who he is. Like Peter, like Addie Lang, God is calling us to be fishers of men off our rompong. That's what he wants from us. That is our calling. As you sit here, you are fishers of men. It's called the Great Commission. Because there's none greater. It doesn't matter what you do on a Monday morning. If you're a secretary, if you're a business owner, if you're a housewife, it is our commission. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift. You see, Addie Lang drifted from the anchor and unable to be resourced with any fuel, any nourishment. He drifted on the open ocean and he was totally useless. Hebrews 6:19 says that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The anchor is the promises of God. It is the certainty that we have in Jesus. That's the anchor. When the rope is sheared and the anchor breaks free, we drift away from the promises of God. There is no other way to the Father. The only way is through the Son. In Hebrews 1, it says that in these last days, I will speak through my Son. If it's not about the Son, we have a different religion. When we are cut loose from Him, the anchor of our soul, we lose sight of God's heart and we miss our calling in Christ completely. Can I give you some good news? In John 21, Jesus appears for the third time to Peter and his mates. The third time. And I just love that about Jesus. I love the fact that he just won't give up. He's just not a giver-upper on things. Twice, and I'm still going back to fishing. Third time, and he comes to reinstate Peter, to restore Peter. Because the God we serve is a restorer. He's a reinstater of things. So even where you're drifting, he will come and find you. You know, with Adeleng, he tried. He tried every means available to get rescued. And eventually, you know what saved him? Was that he saw ships pass on the horizon. He saw them and he watched them go past. And eventually, all he did was he shouted help in English from his rompong. Just shouted help. And a Panamanian ship, the MV Arpeggio, turned and rescued Adeleng after 49 days at sea. Maybe you've been cast adrift because of the hardships and the disappointments of life. We've all had them. Maybe your trust and your reliance and your faith in Jesus has waned. Maybe you feel like you can't do it anymore in your own strength. Your lamp has been snuffed out. The one who can rescue you and resource you and reignite your lamp is here in spirit today. When we come into this house, we know that God is present here. When we pray, just two or three of us, we know He's here. And can I tell you something? He delights when we seek Him. He delights. In the story of the lost son, when the son turns, the father runs for him. He runs for him. God delights when we turn back to Him. So in closing, I'd like to pray for us. I want to pray and if you feel like you've drifted, if you're drifting, I'm going to ask you just to be so bold to put up your hand when we pray. You can pray. We'd love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you. So if you can close your eyes. Father, sometimes we feel like you're not enough and we have to add things into our life. Sometimes we don't trust you. We've let you go. We drift on, like we drift on the open ocean without you. But you're the restorer and the reinstater of our souls. You're the anchor that ties us down and keeps us in place in a safe, secure space because the promises of God, you don't promise us an easy life. You promise us an eternal life. Father, you are the one, you are the only. Jesus, there is no way to the Father except through you. We ask that you would resource us this morning. We ask that you would reignite that passion in our souls, Father. We ask for your spirit over this place this morning. We pray that you would come into our hearts and that you would reactivate things that have gone missing, that have died out, where the lamp has been snuffed out. And we simply have to ask for help. Like that man, Addie Lang, we simply have to ask for help. And when we ask for help, you run for us. Father, I would pray that you would activate something in us, that we are the same on a Monday, on a Friday, on a Sunday. And that we can be the light to the world that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name.